Before you're seated, turn around and smile at somebody, give them an elbow, high five, hug if the Lord is okay with that, with you doing that now. Amen. Love on someone and you can be seated. Woo, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Amen. So good to be with you today. Because when two or three, just a group starts coming together, the dynamics of God's presence, His Spirit, our Father shows up. And I have to say to you, my flesh don't know what to do with the evidence of how real God is. Amen. When He's coming, like He's coming because He's so into you. And so know this, I don't have our Father figured out. I'm over there trying to figure out what He's going to do next, and He won't let me do that. He just says, trust me. And I've come to find out that a healthy attitude is the evidence of walking in the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, we're in our sweet spot, and our Father is in His sweet spot. When I walk according to the flesh, or the carnal way of walking, He can't have His place until I'm subject to His Spirit. Now, I can know a lot of things. I can be decently intelligent and get through life, but I don't get through life fulfilled and happy. But to be smart, and y'all have heard me talk about this the last few months, to be real smart is to be one who walks by faith. And the Lord wants you to know today, before you leave, that all the faith you need, you already have. I know that's not a revelation that most professed believers hold, because most people will tell you, I need more faith. And the reason they're telling you that, they're getting it from somewhere, that they need more faith. And the trick is to hold you captive in this idea that you're not able, and that you're not worthy, that you're not valued, and that hopefully if I'll go to church enough, one of these days I'll be good enough, I'll be valuable enough to have the kind of faith that I need to be victorious. And that's not a truth, that's a lie. And unveiling these lies is what God's doing every waking day if we'll let Him. He comes to us. He's an ever-present help in time of need. And ladies and gentlemen, we need Jesus. Amen. And something that's very powerful to understand is that I can have more of Him when I'm with you, because He's invested in you. And you have a portion of Daddy that I don't have. You have uniqueness. You have gifts. You have a power that, amen, when I'm close to you, I'm experiencing Him. But the enemy does not want us to catch this revelation. In a world that's not subject to Him, the writer of Hebrews, if you had a chance to read that book, you'll have to read it several times and get an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying. But in a world that's not subject to Him, the writer says, we see Jesus, even with all the stuff going on. If you will open up your spirit to Him, He begins to show you what He's doing. Isn't it interesting that Jesus was Jesus now? Perfect. Perfection, right? But the writer lets us know that He was perfected as a son in humanity through the things He suffered. And some of us are going through some challenges in our lives, and we're saying, man, why am I being picked on? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you can hold certain ideas. You can hold certain theories about life, And you can understand certain parameters where 1, 2, 3, if you work this out, you'll get to this equation, and it's not working out. And I'm looking at a lot of intelligent, anointed people here right now. Amen. But if you and I really knew how powerful we were, and how that this is the day the Lord hath made, and he made it with you in mind, whew, and you've been through some stuff, and you got a list of reasons why maybe God is not interested in me, and all that list didn't come from heaven. It come from out of the very pits of hell. God is into you, and I'm telling you right now, the anointing that's in this room, the presence of God that's in this room, my flesh don't know what to do with it, but I'm thankful for it. And I know that before we're through here today, not because I'm some orator or one that can speak with excellence, no, I'm just an old country boy, that God's going to show he can do something through. Not because I can necessarily see everything he's going to do, but I can see through a glass darkly. I see impressions and images of God at work and plans for you, amen, that keeps me drawn into going after it. And I won't stop because without him, I can do nothing. Amen. And so we're talking today about sweet spot. And your sweet spot is found in hope. It's found in hope. And regardless if I read very many scriptures or not, the scriptures are in my spirit. And I'm going to say what God's given my spirit. Amen to you. And if you need to read your Bible, please do that. But the Lord wants us to catch something today that is going to move some things out of your way that you need out of your way ASAP. And he's into ASAP. He's a now God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. He's ready to work right now, and he's challenging us to slow down enough in this world we're in so that we can get in rhythm with him, in harmony with his song, and say what he's saying. And go with him on what he's doing. He's doing something. If you're more interested in the news and all the things going on in our world, you'll get distracted. But if you walk in the Spirit, you can step into your sweet spot and you're allowing him to be in his, and you will see Jesus at work. It's his promise to you and I. And as life changers, everybody in this room is called from heaven to be life changers. God's not going to do this without us. And he's still waiting on several to come join with him, and he can wait. Amen. He'll wait till I'm 90. If I finally get it, he'll redeem the time, and everything he planned on doing in my life, he'll do it, amen, by giving me the years that the enemy took from me. That's the kind of God we serve. From his lens, time does not pass. Mm-mm. He's positioned you with purpose, and time is within him, and you remain consistently the apple of his eye. We believe that it's important for us to carry this good news message. And we have the good news to give away. And he'll only give it through his body, his church, his believers, his children, his sons, his daughters. He'll only give it to you and I that choose to be grafted into him. And we abide in him by maintaining this consistency. Amen. Not being intelligent, but being smart. This is important. That, Lord, I don't know what you're saying. I just don't get it. Anybody catch last week's word? But if we'll just ask. If we'll just ask, seek, and knock, what we can't figure out, he'll meet us there. And he'll give us what we need, regardless if we understand it. And as we walk with him, understanding follows. It comes into the equation. Just enough understanding for us to say, I need more Jesus. Just enough understanding, amen, comes and we go, wow, about, oh, man, this is God. We got more to ask him. And that's the whole point. When you ask, when you're seeking, when you're knocking, you're abiding in him. And abiding in him makes you a winner. It's win-win for you. You can't lose. Even in a world that's not subject to him, you cannot lose. As much as I want to stay on that topic right now, I got to hold off because he's wanting me to talk to you about hope first. Amen. His plans for your life. And so every one of us, we give away the good news of receiving the promise, experiencing freedom, stepping into our true identity and being world changers. This world needs you to let your hope be your passion. This world needs you to realize that what you've got is that powerful. And if you'll let him, he will come to you today in such a way to validate the hope that's within you. Did you know that hope deferred makes what? A heart sick. People without hope are in bad trouble. But the only reason they believe they have no hope is because they've been convinced by the liar through trouble, through trials, through tribulation, whatever the scenario is that's painful and not fair, we let that voice come in and convince us we're unworthy. We can't make it. We can't do it. We'll never live up to that idea. And God is all in to uncovering all the lies. Is this okay? He really is wanting to pull the covers back on all the lies that they, because God does not violate identity. Who he called you before you were born in a physical body. He knit you together wonderfully and fearfully. You're made. He had a plan for you. He had purpose. He called you a name. He gave you identity before you were born. And he had an objective to bring you to fulfillment, to bring you to a place of walking in that identity with him. Thank you, Daddy. For you that haven't read the Bible, I've become more and more aware as I get older that most people that go to church haven't even read the Bible yet. And I get this, don't stop. I've never heard that story before. And I'm not saying that sarcastically. And let me say it this way. It's not necessarily, don't misunderstand me, but it's not necessarily a bad thing that you hadn't read the Bible. And I love my Bible. Ask my wife. I'll quote scriptures all the time. I gotta watch myself because I really do enjoy what I've heard the scriptures say to me. And I'm all in with anybody and everybody that will take the time to listen to what the Bible says instead of just reading it. Because God's voice is real. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. If you catch that, you'll become the Bible. If you get that, you'll become an epistle read and known of all men. Then when they see you, they will see what? Jesus. Jesus said it clearly. I come in the volume of the book. The scriptures are they which testify of me. And when you start talking about him, he starts revealing to you who you are. Because your identity is in him and you're called by his name. So if you haven't read the Bible, okay, well, I'm going to try my best to give you the story platform without being too long with it. There was this man named Jacob that eventually, when he got under the spot where the glory falls out, so to speak, his name was changed to Israel, which is the way that the nation of Israel come about, through his loins. But Jacob had a twin brother, Esau. And when Jacob was born, there was prophecy on that young man. He didn't realize what was inside of him was from heaven. He just knew he wanted the birthright. Amen. Some of us need to get focused on getting what belongs to you, but in the right way. Jacob was wanting to be in a position to where he could serve his family from a birthright lens, because that gives him a place to where he can be more effective. He has the birthright. So he has that place where he's serving the family on another level. And he wanted that to happen. Not a bad desire, but he didn't go about getting it in God's way. He went about getting it through deception, trickery, manipulation, trying to control the situation, right? For you that have read it. And so he steals the birthright, man, by waiting on his brother, which had rightful ownership of the birthright, so to speak, based on being the firstborn. He stole it at a critical time in his brother's life when he was hungry and he was about to die. And so he gets the birthright by way of manipulation. Not only does he do that to Esau, he does to his own father. He tricks his father in thinking he is Esau and gets Esau to pray the blessing upon him. He's going after something that is in him, and it's a good thing to want to have the birthright. I want to pause for a minute for everybody here. You have right to the birthright. That's how powerful you are. That everyone that's born again of the Spirit and they receive the promise of the covenant of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, baptism in fire, you have now stepped into, amen, rightful ownership of birthright. You are ambassadors, you're sons of God. You have now stepped into true identity. To walk in that is to let God be the Father of every step you make, every word you speak. That's living out your birthright. Well, Jacob goes about it, and now because he stirred up anger in his brother, he let him live by feeding him. Should have known that it was going to get him hot, that he manipulated him to give him the birthright. But then on top of that, Jacob steals his blessing from his father. And now in the heart of Esau, I'm going to kill Jacob. You ever want to kill your brother before? But nobody else could kill him, but I can. You ever felt like that before? You can't beat him up, but I can. Yeah, if you got siblings, that's the way you feel. I'll knock you out. Nobody else can, but I'm going to get you. And so Esau is angry, and Jacob is running for his life now, because he can't contend with Esau. But he gets to a place where he finds it's a good place. And he lays down and he goes to sleep. And I want to read to you this scripture. And this will help some of us today. In Genesis 28 and 12, as he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from earth to heaven. And he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground that you are lying on belongs to you. Anybody had a dream like that before? I'm giving it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will be as the number of the dust of the earth. They will spread out all over in all directions, to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you and I will protect you. And wherever you go, one day I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I wasn't even aware of it. But he was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. It's none other than the house of God, the very gateway of heaven. I want to ask you a question here as we move quickly into this. It's all in hope, the sweet spot. Did the Lord just get there when Jacob arrived at Bethel? Did the Lord just get there? Or was he always there? Have you ever hoped that the Lord was in your present location? The question that we have to ask ourselves, how do we know he's with us right now? How do we get that knowing? Jacob had to fall into a state of sleep so that he could start connecting with God. Amen. Sometimes we've got to be in a situation to where we can finally hear him. Jacob's situation, he's running from his brother because he knows his brother's coming after him. And he's trying to figure out life now from a different kind of lens. And God meets him in his dilemma at Bethel. And in his sleep, God begins to remind him, this is who you are. And when Jacob wakes up, he realizes the Lord. He didn't know that prior to going to sleep. He now knows that the Lord is in this place. Are you willing for God to allow you to be in a situation to where you can actually hear him speak to you? Are you willing to let God bring, and I'm telling you, with the world that's not subject to him, we see Jesus at work. Jacob wasn't subject to God, yet prophecy was on him. Jacob was doing anything and everything that was in opposition to God's nature and character, because God's not a deceiver, he's not a tricker, he's not a manipulator, he don't control anybody. Jacob's doing everything in opposition to his true identity. And it was in a dream that God gets his attention. This is not who you are. This is who you are. And I have plans for you, and I will finish what I started in you. And he wakes up knowing, whoo, God is in this place. He called it the gateway of heaven. Now, I want to encourage everyone here today. Our world is looking for passageways. They're looking for better places to experience. Amen. They're looking for better relationships to have. They're looking for, amen, show me a different way than what I've lived right now, because I'm wore out. I'm not fulfilled. Amen. The life has dealt me a bad hand of cards, and they're looking for answers. And God has gateways. He has doors where heaven and earth come together. And this is important for every one of you to get, because even the psalmist talks about, lift up your head, O ye gates, and the Lord will come in. I like this. This will help you. In the Old Testament, the house of God started out as the tabernacle. Then it went from the tabernacle to the temple in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. New Testament, amen, God changes his house. New Testament, here comes Jesus. Ta-da! In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you look at him, you're seeing God manifested. Jesus tells the group that's following him, he said, I got to go. I got to go. And the works you've seen me do, you are going to do greater works than I've done. And so the next place becomes you. You're the house. Know ye not that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. He paid for you to be his house. He paid for you to be his gateway. The only way heaven comes to earth is through his house. We want to be in the sweet spot, right? And God has already set you up to be a winner. You cannot lose. If you choose to lose, you lose with the loser, the devil. You can choose to lose, but you will have to bypass all the signals on the way of losing, because he's going to keep throwing roadblocks up and experiences and all kinds of opportunities to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to turn around and go with you where you want to go. And by the way, thank God you have been through all the stuff you've been through. Because God trusted you to go through where you've been, what you've experienced, all the pain, all the unfairness, all the junk, all the relationship issues. He trusted you there because he knew he was going to take that and bring you into perfection where you can help somebody. Because that somebody you're going to help, he needs you to be subject to him so that through you he can hug them and love them, encourage them and build them up and edify them. So you are the house of God. You are the gateway by which heaven comes to earth and the glory of God is revealed. He won't do it through anything. He chose you to be the platform. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. This is what God's saying. What house can you build me? My abode is among men. He chose you and I to do this thing through. And the Lord's so excited about what he's invested in you, but there's something we need to know. You have all the faith that you need. You don't need any more faith because, amen, the faith that you have already, and I know some of you right now are going like, okay, I'm ready to hear this one because I sure don't feel like I got no faith. And the only reason you feel that way is because you're entertaining thoughts and ideas and lies that you think are true. Let me give you a few illustrations. It's like Jacob, you know. Have you ever laid down before hating a place and when you woke up you loved it? Oh, let me give you a better illustration. You ever laid down at night hating your job, woke up the next morning and you loved your job? Now, what happened when that happened? Now, some of you it's happened to, because I know it's happened to you, because you got hungry for Jesus, and you didn't know why you hated your job, because you was letting lies convince you that job was there to make you feel bad, to beat you up, and to make you feel less than who you are. And it sort of wasn't filling your bank account up. But you got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and one night you went to sleep, after belly aching to the Lord, and he'll take your, he likes us being honest. He just wants us to be truthful. Tell me where you're at. Man, I don't believe you love me, Lord. I can work with that. Get honest. Quit lying. Quit putting the mask. Take the mask off. Get real. Confession is about being honest with God about where you at and how you feel. He loves it when his kids are up front with him. He'll let you puke on him, and he'll wipe it off of himself. And yeah, he'll let you poop in your diaper. And he'll change it for you and put powder on. He's just good. Just get honest with God. And so we get honest with him and tell the truth about how we feel. Man, I don't want to go to work tomorrow. I hate that place. Man, the boss, I want to knock him out. I got murder in my heart, Daddy. And just tell him everything. And then you go to sleep because you won't listen to him because you got all these other thoughts running in your mind. We're so intelligent. I know this is the way it is. And I don't ever want to go. I have to go there because I got to pay the bills next week and next month. Y'all said these things before? But you got honest with God and you laid down and you kind of went into a sleep state where God could talk to you. And then all of a sudden, while you're sleeping, you get a revelation of why you're there. And he begins to talk to you why he has you there and his plans for you being there and what he's after. And he needs you to trust him with it. And he just gives you all the details, and you wake up like, I can't wait to get to work. Because you and Jesus are doing some stuff now. You caught it. You heard him. And when you hear him, there's an experience that comes with it. Whoo, Jesus is in this place. Every time God speaks, there's always an experience that comes with Him speaking. It's not God speaks and you didn't feel nothing. Y'all get over that. There ain't no such thing as God speaking and you didn't feel nothing and you didn't experience anything. When He speaks, you will know it. I can tell you, you can quote the Bible and not feel nothing. Pastor Lowe, be careful now. Yeah, you can. Because the deceiver, the enemy, he can quote the Bible. And he'll interpret the Bible for you. That's why we got 7,000 plus different denominations right now in Christianity. And there's only one church. When the Spirit speaks, there's an experience that comes with it. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Anytime you think God spoke to you and you ain't experienced something, He didn't talk to you. I don't know if I agree with you. Well, let me tell you some things that let me tell you how real the devil is for a minute. This will help you. How do you know the devil talks to you? Yeah, your emotional intelligence dips real quick. Your attitude shifts. And all of a sudden, you're feeling down. You just had this thought that come through your mind. It may be a thought about somebody else, and all of a sudden you feel, oh. Maybe a thought about something you're doing or you want to achieve, and that thought don't pick you up. It takes you, ugh. You just heard from the devil. Your design is not for that. That's how the enemy, and he'll come in and he'll say things like, when you get a good thought, like, you're going to start a business. I'd enjoy doing that. And the reason you would enjoy doing that is because you have the faith that you need. It's called hope. It's called hope. Let me help you here. It's the way the Lord's showing me. When Jesus is talking to those that are following Him, He wants them to understand they have everything that they need. Everything there is right there with them already. It's already in them. God already preordained it. They're breathing and they're walking around, moving around because He's already put it all in them. He's wanting to bring it out of them. And He says to them, you see that mountain right there? If your faith is the smallest thing that they could relate to, He pulls it up, a mustard seed. He said, if you have this much faith, you can say to that mountain, be removed, and it'll move you to the sea. Y'all got to catch this now. If it had been 2020, He would have went to quantum physics, and He would have went into that quantum physics, and He would have found a particle or a quark or whatever it is, the smallest thing they've come up with in quantum physics. And He said, if you got faith like that, you can say to this mountain, be removed, and be moved into the sea. Nobody in this room needs more faith. Well, okay. Well, maybe that's true, Pastor, but I still don't get it. All right, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things. Anybody got some hope today? You got hope? Oh, you might be in a bad situation. You might be bankrupt. Your health might be in a bind right now. You might feel like, man, I don't know if I'll make it next month. Okay, do you have any hope? You got all the faith you need to win right now. Victory over everything. The problem with us moving forward and receiving, amen, this victory, this unity and relationship with God and with one another, this business that's financially blessed, whatever it is, it's about us unveiling the lies that we're holding in our hearts that's got our hope in prison. So, you get this good idea, and this good idea is a business idea, or this good idea is whatever. And all of a sudden, you think to yourself. You don't ever want to think to yourself. Because that's a signal that the enemy's ready to talk. When you get advice from yourself, yourself is not the best place to get advice. Yourself will hurt you. It will hold you in prison. And the enemy likes taking the puppet called yourself and puppeting you. And you think to yourself, I can't do that. I don't have enough education, or I'm not worthy. And boy, there's a list of reasons why all of a sudden that good idea that you said, I would have fun doing that. That would be awesome. All of a sudden, boom, you think to yourself. And the moment you think to yourself, dip, I can't do that. I'm not worthy. I'm not educated enough. I'm this or I'm that. And the enemy has taken the thing that God was wanting to glorify himself in, and he's boxed you in and made you doubt your true identity. That hope that you have is the place where God gets his glory. That's where he walks in his sweet spot. Anybody want the Lord to walk in his sweet spot in you? Remember this. He's trying to get us to realize you can't imagine what he wants to do through you. You don't have the capability of coming up with what God wants to do through you. And here you have this hope. And when you think about what you would like to be a part of, you're thinking, well, I thought that up. That's just me. Because the enemy convinced you that it was just you, and you're not worthy because he's the one manipulating your identity and making you feel less than who God says you are. Hope. Hope is the trigger, amen, that validates your faith. Amen. That God has already placed in. How do we know God talks to us? No, really, God? All of a sudden he speaks and says, you think I can do that? Yeah, go get it. How do I go get it? Just go get it. Well, do I need to go to the right or left? No, just go get it. I'm going to order your steps. I'm going to bless you on the way. As you go, I'm going to overtake you with blessings. As you trust me. Somebody's catching this finally. And you're going to realize that I'm not going to church ever again. I'm going to be the church. And it's just simply slowing down to God's rhythm. Getting in step with him and catching his melody and only saying what he's saying. Has anybody ever failed before? Now, Jesus is perfected through his suffering, right? But, you know, I've never met a parent that when a child falls down on their first ride, trying to learn how to ride the bike and they fall. I haven't met a parent run up there and say, "Whoa, you fail. It's over with. You can't ride no more." Have y'all met that parent yet? I hadn't. I know there's parents that's like, "Man, I'd rather you not ride the bike because it's probably going to cost us getting some teeth put back in and all that stuff and stitches." And I understand, but you cast it down. You know, hey, look, I got to ride a bike. They get to ride a bike. And then we're going to help them ride that bike. And they may fall 10 or 15 times, but get back up. Let's try it again, right? But why is it that when you come up with a good idea like starting a business and it fails, well, I can't do that again because I'm apparently not an entrepreneur. And everybody in this room is entrepreneurs. Every one of you are. I can't do that again. I failed at starting that business. Obviously, I'm not supposed to start a business. But somehow you was eat up with this, yes, I want to do it, and you fail. No. You do it again. And then you do it again. And finally, you come to this place where, man, I'm catching on. I'm learning something here now. I'm going to be good at this. This is my identity. I'm a business owner. And not only that, I'm a business starter. And you put the enemy on the run. But you unveil the lies first. And you get excited about the fact that when God speaks, you experience what he says to you, and it's always a wow factor when he talks to you about you. Always a wow factor. Lord, do you really believe I can do that? Yes, I do. I put it in you. Go get it. And if you'll trust me, you're giving me my sweet spot. I'm fixing to show you how valued you are. You can never lose. Didn't say you wouldn't fall. You can never lose. And say failure wasn't going to be involved in the equation. You are winners. My grandmother, y'all hear me speak to her often, and I have Uncle Tommy. You know, she kind of impacted her firstborn, Uncle Tommy. There's two examples here I want to use as we bring this down to what hope really looks like. And some of you have even said, man, you just don't understand, Pastor. I'm going through something right now, and I don't have any hope. But if you'll just pause long enough to let the Lord meet you where you are, he'll show you you've had it all the time. My Uncle Tommy, business owner, he saw some land. Now, he's a road builder. He got finished sixth grade education. And the family needed assistance and help, so he goes to work. And he goes to work on heavy equipment at 12 years old. Interesting. And for long, he ain't turned 20 yet. He has just that zeal in him to make it happen. And he believes in it because grandma's in his life and she's praying into him as well. So he sees some property that he says, that would be a beautiful place to build a building where we can meet and worship the Lord. And he tells the Lord, Lord, I believe this is why you're showing me this land, and I believe this is why you're giving me this job. And I will make that the objective. And he did. That was first. And as he went after what he had hoped for, God blessed him and blessed him and overcome him. If you was to go there and look at that place right now, it's wow. And it started when he didn't have the resources. He could see himself, amen, doing what he needed to do to get the resources, but God was going to help him there because he didn't have it. And he said, Lord, I believe this is the direction you want me to go. And he went. And today, if you go look at it, you go, my goodness, only God could do that. I said that to say this. His mother, my grandmother, which was important to me, has a younger son named Joel Wallace. And when you're operating in your identity, in your sweet spot, and God's in his sweet spot, and you're walking in the Spirit, you know things before they happen. You just do. When you're in the Spirit, amen, I'm not talking about being spooky, I'm not talking about being weird, but you're in the Spirit. And it's okay that you're learning how to get there, it's weird. Amen? You might say, well, dude, I'd never be a holy roller. Well, don't say that. Don't say that. Because when the situation comes where you need God more than anything, you'll be a holy roller. Just don't say you'll never do something. Because you'll have to give it up for him to be Lord of his house. It's not about the way we perceive church, religion, and stuff going, and how people misuse and stuff. Look, they appeared to be drunk in Acts chapter 2. Don't say that. Because you won't be able to stand up when you experience him. And you really don't give a flip when you experience. You don't care what anybody thinks. When you're experiencing him, people's idea of you don't matter. All that matters is what his idea of you is. And getting beside yourself because daddy's giving you some attention becomes okay, don't it? Am I promoting us to get kind of back beside ourselves? Whatever it takes is what I'm promoting. Whatever it takes for you to get past you to the throne room where you let him have his sweet spot. Whatever it takes, Lord. I can't leave here without you being in your sweet spot. That's the point. So grandma has got this 17-year-old boy named Joel Wallace, and he's working on road construction with his bigger brother. And he's doing the road construction portion. And they're just horsing around. It's at the end of the day. Grandma, I've seen her do this before. I mean, she's done it to me. She knew stuff before I knew it. Let me know she was focused on what God was saying more than I was then. I remember her telling me when I met this girl right here, and I come home and I told her, I said, next time I date somebody three times, I'm marrying them. So on my third date with this girl right here, I come home and I told Grandma, I said, what I told you, and she tried to stop it though, but what I told you, I'm going after that girl right there. And she laughed. And her laugh always threw me, what, you knew that? And then she told me, she said, and the last girl you dated, And it took me a while to know that one, but she knew that before I did. But she didn't say nothing. She stayed in the spirit. She just stayed Grandma. And she was operating with God, and she could see things before they happened. This is going to be good for y'all to catch this one. This is so important as we close this message today. It's all found in hope, your sweet spot. Uncle Joe jumps up on a motor grader at the end of the day, and the motor grader operator still owned it, and just horsing around, he throws it into reverse to try to knock him off. Didn't mean to do what happened. Well, before that happens, Grandma is already seeing it. And she's just at home taking care of what she takes care of. So when Joel comes home, she's going to feed him. But she sees something, and she had a conversation with Daddy before it happened. God wants every one of us to walk here in a world that's not subject to Him. We see Jesus. And God had already imparted to her prophetic utterances about her son. That if what she's seeing is happening right now, would try to take that away. And she said, oh, no, you're not taking that away. That belongs to me. You said. Okay, and so she's already having a connection, and then it happens. And that motor grader knocked him backwards. And the blade was off the ground 6 inches. Rolls him into the ground. His bottom half is folded up behind his neck. Every bone was broken. He's not on top of the ground. It pushed him into the ground. It even the motor grader come up as it rolled him into the ground. He's in the ground. He's still alive. They don't know what to do. They got the ambulance out there. It starts raining. They got umbrellas. It's raining. It's water's rushing on it. He's pressed into the dirt. He's still breathing, and somehow those people that are picking him up out of that dirt and putting him on the stretcher in his condition, he's still breathing. They put him in the ambulance. The ambulance gets stuck. They had to go get a dozer to come in and hook a cable up to it and drag the ambulance out. He's still alive. When they get him to the hospital, our technology at that time, so they didn't know what to do with that situation. He ain't supposed to be like, how is he breathing still? And so they get him into the emergency room, and they're trying to start putting him back together, and he's alive still, and grandmother comes in. And the doctor meets her out there and says, ma'am, we don't know why he's still alive, but we just want you to know we don't expect him to make it. Any moment he should expire. And she looks at him and says, oh, no, he's going to be all fine. He's going to be fine. Everything's good. And the doctor says, but you don't understand. Let me help your understanding here. This is what's going on. Oh, no, he'd be fine. They're in surgery, and they've got him opened up, and they're having to put him back together. While he's in surgery, he wakes, he comes to. And he says, Doc, put me back together right. It freaked the doctors out, man. It did. Everybody's like, did you know that our daddy's wanting to laugh like that about all the stuff we go through? 6 months later, he walks out of that hospital. Grandma didn't have a problem with the trouble he was going through. She knew that that was part of him coming to perfection. It was part of his development into his true identity. If he was going to live up to the things that God spoke to her about him, God trusted him with that. You reckon it ministered to that hospital? You reckon grandma, when she's sitting there like, it's all good, everything's good. Do you reckon, what did that say to the doctors and the nurses and the hospital staff? What did that say to them? She had hope that God gave her, and she didn't let the enemy take it from her. Because our world is so intelligent, they're not smart. Medicine said he ain't supposed to be alive, but me and Daddy just had a conversation, said everything's good. That's fact, but the truth is this. And the world is full of facts. Let me encourage you right now. The sooner you get delivered of the God Google, the better for you. And if you're checking out what I'm saying today to make sure it's Google has something that's agreeing with me, you're in trouble already. The God Google has got to fall. God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And grandma had a hope. And the facts couldn't cover them over, couldn't steal them from her. The facts say all kinds of things. But she heard the truth about it. And the truth made her free. And the truth wants to make you free today. That lying spirit that said that relationship ain't going to work out, that's a lie. That spirit that said, oh, you'll never be a business owner, that's a lie. It said, you're not worthy. Oh, what you were doing last week, you reckon God wants to work with you? It's a lie. Daddy trusts you with every dark event. He believed in you when you were in it, while you were going through it. And he's right there with you in it right now. And he's anticipating you coming out of it. Because he's got great big plans for you. And remember, it's all about receiving the promise. The reason they could speak with tongues and prophesy is because they were hearing something that pushed the lies away. Come on. The fear of death is the problem, not death. It's the fear of death. And it come to take them out, and they got back in Acts chapter 4 and said, look, man, they're telling us they're going to kill us. And they prayed again together. And the Spirit came because they got honest. We're scared. We don't feel good. We want to quit, Daddy. They just got honest. He said, I like that. That's good. Let me come and help you with this. You get honest with me, and I'll eradicate the lies. And I'll give you a word that'll set you free. And the place was shaken, and they were all filled again. And they prophesied. And they spake with tongues. And boldness came up on them. And the fear of death didn't have no hold on them no more. And they went out and told everybody. They wasn't using a 10-pound Bible to knock people over the head. They were just loving on people. They were just letting people know there's a better way. There's a better relationship. There's more hope. You can win. That experience of the promise that Jesus said, that endows us with power from on high, that experience is the key to uncover your hope. It's the key. The thing that you've always wanted to do, it's there in you. And your sweet spot and his sweet spot is within that hope that he's had in you since before you were born. Ah. Thank you, Jesus, for people in my life that went through hell on earth and you was with them through every step of the pain and the unfairness. You seen them to the other side, and they became your gateway. They became your house. They became the channel by which heaven and earth come together. You're in here right now, and you're God's gateway. Anybody want to be God's gateway? Anybody want to be God's house? The kingdom of God is within you right now. Can you just take a moment and ask the Lord to do something with the kingdom that's within you? And you feel after him from right here. Ah, oh, feel after him right here. Ah. Oh. Feel from right here. And then as you start feeling this pressure right here, ah, oh, you feel it right here in deep. Ah, oh, like a river, like a well trying to come up. Ah. Oh. When you start feeling that, whatever comes to your mind, repeat it. When you start feeling that pressure right up in here, whatever's coming to your mind, start, yes, Lord. Trust him with it. Anybody want to put that to the test right now? Could we do that? And forget about the people around you for a moment. Focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, your hope. And let's see where he'll meet you right now in this moment of time and what will happen. Amen. Can we lift our hands to heaven? Just take your time, just you and Jesus. He's as big as you'll let him be. He will not push himself on you. He'll come as close as you'll let him come. Yes. Put it to the test. He's not a respecter of persons. Thank you, Father.